We're back, and hour two upon us. Weekend preview at the races brought to you by Twin Spires. And they bring you James Scully, James_Scully111 on Twitter. James, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's great to talk to you. Happy New Year, and talk to you since December. So I hope the whole holidays went well for you.
And you as well. And last week, actually, when you couldn't join us, we had a double helping of Ed. And in fact, if I can squeeze it in, I might even reach back for Ed in hour three, too, because of this situation that's arose another week in a row, the Turfway pick five carryover, which is, you know, what I brought Ed in for a second time last week. Here you are, and here is the Fairgrounds season starter toward the Fairgrounds Oaks and the Louisiana Derby. A terrific card. Even above the six stakes, there's the sequence of maidens, and there's some very prominent pedigrees involved. I'll probably go through some of that with Marcus as well. I know you looked at the Forego tonight at Turfway, which is the anchor leg of that pick five. There's Tampa with the 3-year-old stakes there too. Let's dive in. Let's do some handicapping.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't really get a chance to look at Tampa, but funny okay. how that seven furlong Gasparilla, Swiss Skydiver, ran fifth in that race last year and wound up being champion, or will be champion 3-year-old. But we've got the two Oaks, the Derby Prep at Fairgrounds, LeCompte Stakes Day. We've had two preps so far this year. We had the Jerome and the Sham the first week of January, and now we're getting into full swing where we got the LeCompte on Saturday, Smarty Jones next Friday, and then the weekend after that, the Holy Bull and the Bob Lewis. So the big horse in the LeCompte is Mandaloon, who's one of Brad Cox's Kentucky Derby prospects. I mean, he has a bunch of them this year with Central Quality and Caddo River and others. And Mandaloon, I thought, just got up to win his debut. It was a pretty nice performance. But he ran in a salty allowance race, entry-level allowance on that Stars of Tomorrow 2 program on November 28th at Churchill Downs. And I thought he was super impressive that day, Steve. I like the fact that after being pretty far back in the early stages of his debut, he sat more of a stalking trip, a couple lengths off the pace. When Florent Giroux asked him in upper stretch, I mean, he just, like, was powerhouse. And, you know, and then he just took him under wraps, really, like, under the wire. That's a big race to move forward off of, I think. And he's really not catching, perhaps the most proven group. A lot of promising young horses in this field that are also coming off allowance and maiden races. But we are going to have a few scratches. It looks like Marcus had reported on that earlier this week. And one thing about those scratches is I think it's going to impact the pace if these horses right. all come out. Because Beep Beep for sure and Manor House are both coming off, I think, excellent front-running efforts. And even Dynamite, you know, has shown speed at times. So, Mandaloon, I think he's going to get the right trip. He's clearly the horse to beat. If I'm looking to play this race straight, I might take a shot at a couple straight exactas with my one issue I have with Arabian Prince a little bit is I'm wondering if he's going to get enough pace. A couple horses that I do like underneath that I think I'm going to give a chance to, Steve, are number four, Proxy. I really like how he's come on in those last two efforts at Fairgrounds for Michael Stidham, a Tappet Colt out of Panty Raid, outstanding mare. And two starts back even in that maiden race, the horse he beat, Afwan, he's in race six tomorrow in a maiden race, and I really like his chances there. And then I thought Proxy last time looked really good winning that allowance as well. So I think he's got Mitchell Merle, Proxy does. He's the leading rider at Fairgrounds. I think he's on a bunch of live horses tomorrow. I'm going to be betting some Merle horses, and I look at Proxy as like an exacta candidate. The other horse I'll mention real quick, Regular Guy. I look at this horse, and his form has really improved, I think, in all four starts as he stretched out his distance. Ran a good second to Santa Cruiser, two back at a one-turn mile. When he stretched out a mile on the 16th last time, he graduated. I thought he, looked pretty solid that day. That race didn't come back that fast, but I do think he'll improve upon that effort. And so I give him a chance to perhaps complete the exacta under Mandaloon.
Midnight Bourbon inside.
Yeah, Midnight Bourbon's coming off. You know, I just didn't know what to make of that Iroquois effort, and I didn't like, you know, the champagne, but I do respect the fact that, you know, if he appears to be training forwardly down at the fairgrounds for Steve Asmussen, he's got some tactical speed as well. And, you know, he's stretching out the two turns as well. So that might help him. And, you know, can't be dismissed. But he's going to probably – he'll either be the second or third choice along – I think he's going to be the second choice. And I think Santa Cruiser is going to take some effort as well off that last race at Churchill Downs. You know, those are the big threats to Mandaloon, but I'm really excited to see him go two turns for the first time. He's by Into Mischief, but he's out of an Empire Maker mare. So, you know, really, really a excellent pedigree for longer tips, two turn distances. And I think he's always been met for two turn distances by the Brett Cox barn.
Talk about the girls race.
Girls race has two horses that definitely are very, very dangerous. Sun Path for Brad Cox, 2-1 morning line favorite. She is a sister to the horse Bonnie South, who won the Fairgrounds Oaks last year, and you know, comes off a 12-length win, looked awesome that day. The other horse in the rail, Super Sensational. I didn't think this race had that much speed. Looks like Super Sensational will be the horse to beat. But a horse I like in here, Steve, and I'm going to make the point, is number 8, Little Stitches. And I just think that this Ghost Zapper filly was a type that just needed a few races to figure it out. Even when she ran second in her second and third starts, I didn't really think she was a serious, like, win threat. She just sort of, like, finished up for second in those races. But two starts back at Churchill Downs, if you watch that replay of that race, if they get to the midway point of that far turn, and she has no chance whatsoever. She's wide. She's well off the pace. And when they come into the stretch, it was like the light bulb just went on, and she finished powerfully to win by going away by a half length. Her effort last time, my trusty cat, was much more straightforward. She just crushed them by 10 lengths and looked good doing it. And she's shown some tactical speed. I don't think she's going to be that far back with James Graham. She's a filly to me that is really eligible to move forward, stretching out to two turns. She's the first foal to race for her dam. And her dam is a half to Broadway Empire, won the mile and eighth grade three Oklahoma Derby, and Cinderella's Dream, who finished second in the mile and eighth Demoiselle in her career finale. So these two turn distances are going to hit Little Stitches right between the eyes, and I give her a chance to run well at decent odds.
It's an interesting race because of the, you know, the surface issue with Super Sensational. If she makes the, you know, the transition, she'll be — she'll be formidable, but I agree about Little Stitches, and you got that Sun Path for Cox as well. You know who's well positioned throughout the day, it seems, is Chris Block has got some horses that, as I went through, I kept kind of catching my eye. Stidham too, who I'm sure we'll talk about as we get into some other races.
And that Charlie's Penny of Charlie's Penny of Chris Block, she must have started in that Latelia Memorial at 6 furlongs. I wouldn't count that effort against her. She only gets beat 2 lengths that day. She's stretching out a distance. Looks like a type that should, you know, handle a mile and 70 yards, no problem to me. So, yeah, she's a little interesting in there, Charlie's Penny.
What else you got? You do have an all-stakes pick five. You're going to work
your
way backward?
Yeah, we've got a guarantee on the all-stakes pick five, and we've got a guarantee on the late pick four. Working backwards, race number 11 is the Colonel Bradley on the turf. You know, this race is a race that, to me, came up with, you know, a fair amount of pace in it. You know, when these races come up, you got Sailing Solo, Spectacular Gem, and Logical Myth. They're the three top choices on the morning line, and they're all eligible to be up, keeping each other company. I wound up going with Big Agenda. I think that, you know, he's a horse that got caught up a little bit. He came on in his first two starts for Maker in September at Kentucky Downs at Churchill. He wins the first two starts for the new barn. He ran him in the mile and a half, Sycamore at Keeneland. That distance is too far for Big Agenda. He still ran a good race. He was in position in upper stretch and just came up a little bit short. But he he looks like a horse that 100% was going to run on the turf at Churchill Downs. After like the first week and a half of the meet, they canceled turf racing for the rest of the meet. And I just think, you know, Maker, instead of shipping him down to Fairgrounds right away, he probably opted to go for that Prairie Bayou at Turfway. It didn't work out. You know, he didn't run that well there on synthetics, but he's going to love going back to the turf. Like I said, this mile and a 16th distance system between the eyes, he's going to be running late. I'll mention a couple other real quick. Number six, Vittori Ken, 20-1 shot, claimed last spring for $40,000. I just don't think Stidham would be running this horse if he wasn't training lights out. He's going to get the right setup. He's a little intriguing. And I even looked at Split the Wickets and Mr. Misunderstood. I think both those horses have a little bit, have something going for them, and could get up a favorable setup.
Excellent.
And then race number 10, I really like Silver Prospector. It's a Louisiana Grade 3 stakes. Silver Prospector came back from a long layoff. You know, didn't fare well in the slop of the Rebel or going a mile and an eighth against Nadal in the Arkansas Derby. Came back from a layoff. I thought that was a really big win on October 30th at Churchill Downs at a mile and an eighth distance. That isn't his premium distance. He's better at a mile and a 16th, 2 for 3 at the 8.5 for long distance. And then last time in the Clark, really just sort of ran an even race, you know, was in, you know, wasn't in a bad spot, leaving the far turn and just sort of came up empty. But that was a really good field. Gets some class relief here, and it's the third start off the break. Another horse you get to see that appears to be taken to the Fairgrounds Oval for Steve Asby's in a couple fast five for a long work. So I think he's got one thing about Silver Prospector, too. He runs his best races when the pace is, it tends to be moderate, because, or he tends to, because he can stay closer to the action. And this is a race that, to me, just doesn't have like a lot of speed in it. You're going to have Wells Bayou flashing in the front. You're going to have Blackberry Wine sitting second. But I think the pace is still going to be moderate, and Silver Prospector is going to be in position turning for home to win the Louisiana.
All right. Starts out, to what, at 5-1?
Yeah. And then the Marie Kant Memorial, it kicks off the pick five. It's Philly and Mares on the turf, mile and 16th. Delica, Secret Message, ran first and third in the Blushing KD the prep for this race in mid-December. They're win contenders in here. I'm going to use them both in my pick five tickets. But I'm also going to throw in this number four, Zantique. She's a filly for Tom Morley to me that really just started to put it together last year during the summer when she reels off an entry-level allowance at Belmont and then non-winners at two other than allowance at Saratoga. She got stakes experience in her last three starts. Her best effort of those came in a mile and 70 yards at Kentucky Downs. Her last two efforts are at 5.5 furlongs and 6 furlongs. I think the stretch back out to two turns favors her. And at 10-1 on the morning line, that's a filly I'm going to throw in my tickets because I think she's eligible to keep moving forward off that stakes experience in the stretch out and distance.
It's a all stakes pick five that starts with the Krantz, which goes off at 4:54 and then runs through 5:49 Central, 6:49 Eastern, the LeCompte. So all stakes pick five, all stakes pick four at Fairgrounds, and the Silver Bullet Day and the LeCompte are going to be part of the America's Day at the Races telecast for everybody. So you'll be able to watch it anywhere and along with the coverage from the Big A. Anything else on this card?
Well, yeah, I mean, I really, you mentioned like all these main races. I've gone through them all. I did mention race six, the one horse Aflan. That's an entry level allowance. I like him. I looked at this race number seven. Louis Russell paid 500 grand for this American Pharoah colt, Global Empire. He's 12-1 on the morning line. Looks like he's working well. I take a look at his female family, and his relatives include Trevon, Yukon Robbery, and Kumha, who are all turf stakes winners at Fairgrounds. So he's got some breeding for the Fairgrounds turf, and in a weird way. But definitely, like horses like that at a price are horses that intrigue me. I looked at in race number four. I wonder what this number two super cool. You know, here's a colt that sold for $11,000. He's by Super Saver. He's a half brother to stakes winners Nana Mella and Nana Madalena. His dam is Unraced Dam, is a full sister to Bluegrass Cat and a half sister to like Dramedy and Lord of the Game. It's all this pedigree. He's got a couple quick five furlong and half mile work in preparation. And he's got Mitchell Merle. And I just think he's going to be overlooked in that spot. There's another price horse I like a little bit on the undercard, Steve.
Well, that race, the fourth,
that's got Charlie Candy's brother and Murneith and, you know, this that $600,000 Nyquist might draw in. Even that Warrant's got a pedigree with Miss Locust Point and Mr. Buff and that family. So, yeah, there's a lot of well-bred horses in that race. And, you know, some pedigree plays throughout the card. A lot of these maiden and the entry-level allowance races are just, like, full field. So it's going to be a great card at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, no doubt. And looking forward to it. Talk about tonight. I know you looked at the forego, and that took on added importance, James, because of the carryover going into the pick five. Races 1 through 5 tonight at Turfway, 72,700 will be in the kitty before they hit the gate.
Yeah, forego, race 5, 6.5 furlongs. It's really cool. They honored forego because he was such a good sprinter at Latonia back in the day. Just kidding about that. This race has Bango, who obviously merits respect off a really solid effort over the poly track. He's going to be the favorite. But I will mention there's a couple outside speed horses in here, an Awesome Gent and Unmoored. And I thought Guildsman was intriguing to me because his last couple starts have been at 5 and 5.5 furlongs. I thought those distances might be like a little bit too short, sharp for him. Plus, the last time he really had a bad break from the gate. So his last couple starts, he hasn't broken well. I think the stretch out to 6 furlongs really favors him. He won a grade 3 stake at Kentucky Downs at 6.5 furlongs. He's a stakes winner, 6 furlongs, sprinting on all-weather tracks. And I just think that if he gets off to a cleaner start, he could really appreciate this distance and might get an okay setup if those outside horses show some speed and ensure some pace.
It's another amazing sequence at Turfway.
I'll mention one other long shot once in race 2 at Turfway. You know, this race has a lot of these favorites in there look vulnerable to me. Number 5, Skybolt, 20-1 on the morning line. He was pressing a tough pace last time from an outside post. The runner-up and third-place finishers both came back to win their next start as favorites at the $30,000 maiden claiming level. This is a drop in class for him. I expect him to be up close to the early action. And, you know, this Justin Atkins, I don't know him, but he's got 6 starts at Turfway and he has a win in a second. So, you know, he looks like he knows what he's doing. And that's a horse I'm going to use on my pick 5 ticket, number 5, Skybolt in the second race.
Excellent. Excellent. The sequence includes a nickel claimer opening things up, fillies and mares going short. Then this race that James just addressed with Skybolt, the 5 is a maiden 15, where almost everybody has got experience. And then a nickel claimer, non-winners of 2, based on the calendar going a mile. Then a 6.5 3-year-old filly maiden special weight. And, you know, these races have ended up, you know, a lot of nice horses that might normally have gone south for the winter have stayed in Kentucky. And so it's much different than it's been in the last, you know, the last few winters. You do have some firsters in here, including one from John Ortiz and from Wesley and from Bill Denzik. So Drury may get one in as well on cue, the 13, and then comes the forego. So it is another terrific sequence. And frankly, after the pick 5 ends, you've got a first level allowance for 3-year-old fillies that have got the nice-ish group, and then older fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th in another quality race. So it's a terrific card enhanced by the carryover at Turfway tonight.
Yeah, Yeah, and the fields there have been gigantic. And yep. Last night, it was actually a case where some of those races didn't have that big of fields, and naturally they have a pick five carryover. You know, so it's still difficult there, you know. So, it's really competitive racing, no doubt about it, this winter.
Does that cover everything, James, or was there something else?
I got one more horse today at Fairgrounds, long shot. Number one, Merlin Song with Mitchell Merle. Going to show speed from her inside post. Got beat to the lead last time by Silver and Lay. Was rank early, in a pocket in the stretch. She makes the lead today from that rail with Mitchell Merle. She's 12-1 on the morning line. She's got a chance in race 8 at Fairgrounds to take them all the way.
Nice. There you go. So a last second Friday push from James. Always valuable. Terrific. James, best of luck. And we'll check in next week ahead of the big card at Gulfstream.
Yeah.
And Santa Anita.
Yeah, Pegasus this weekend and Smarty Jones. And look forward to all the got a lot of big weekends coming up. I love this time of year. Thanks a lot for having me on, Steve.
No, James, I appreciate it. James Scully, everybody. Marcus Hirsch is going to join us next, and we'll dive further into the Fairgrounds card. While we're waiting for Marcus, I don't know. Maybe we'll see about Nick in hour three if he looked at anything among these races at Laurel. And a reminder, you know, what's involved here. Of course, we talked about What a Summer, the horse herself, not the race. Hello Beautiful is going to be a very short favorite in that What a Summer. And she's even money or starting out. And Street Loot in the Extra Heat, talking about nice filly sprinters, Street Loot. For Jerry Robb in the 7th as well is going to be a short price. There is a horse I do want to mention that Always Mining returns in the Jennings. And this is going to go as the 5th race. I mentioned the other day when the overnight came out, you know, some of the names involved like Cordbaker for Rodney Jenkins. But Always Mining comes back for Running More Racing, and last seen last July with Kelly Rubley. Austin Treatise is back in the entries, and Austin has been an assistant for Jimmy Toner, and he sent out a handful of starters, I think maybe two years ago, give or take, and then was back working as an assistant. And Always Mining is in Austin's hands. So best of luck to Austin Treatise, who comes back into the entry on the trainer line. Good to see it. And good to hear in the background, Marcus Hirsch. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Not Happy New Year?
I'm sorry. I was switching. I was multitasking and switched off mute and speaker, and I might have cut off what you're... I'm sure generous intro and greeting was, but I apologize for any shortcomings in reply.
I can tell already it's going to be Marcus at his best. And Marcus, certainly the entry box was at its best for this first big, really big Saturday of racing at Fairgrounds.
I actually think I have a number. I think it was 140 entrants, not counting also eligibles, in 13 races. But... that's pretty good, and it's the first race is Louisiana Bred. Two out of them are 20,000 claiming, which is, you know, not basically an allowance race. And the rest of the card is all straight maiden races, open allowance races, and six stakes races.
And intriguing ones too. I mean, the maiden fields. I mean, our focus will be, you know, the big stake races. But I do want to touch on the maidens because there's some major pedigrees involved in that sequence, and very interesting horses.
Yeah, really worth mentioning because this is I've ever seen it in all these supporting maiden races at Fairgrounds. Suddenly, kind of like out of the blue, you know, I just noticed that purses suddenly are, like, maiden purses are $10,000 higher than at Gulfstream, you know, with those two tracks compete for horses. And I also feel like they're just more higher end horses, at least in terms of breeding and where they come from, than I've noticed on a January card before. Now, part of that is the really increasingly strong focus on these multi-stakes days in terms of putting together cards with using the better horses stabled at fairgrounds. I mean, there's really been a massive concentration. And, you know, they've developed the December one into the first of those, too, which is something that's only happened in the last couple of years. So you got mid-December, mid-January, mid-February, and later in March. And that's really where all the best horses are concentrated. You don't see too many weekday straight maiden races any longer. So that's just the way the schedule works out. But even considering that, I think you're right to point out the strength and depth of all these young horses racing in maiden and allowance races on Saturday.
Well, and actually, even before we do the stakes, because if we don't touch on these races, something tells me we'll just give it short shrift. So let's quickly walk through. And the first of the maidens are 3-year-old fillies going three quarters in the second. And the first name that jumped at me was Ryan's Rocket out of Totally Tucker. This is Larry Jones and a couple of partners. This is a half to Totally Boss and Super Steed.
What jumped out at me was 11th and 11th by 15 and 20 lengths.
I love it.
First LASIK. I mean, sure, you could. There's pedigree there. Let me see. I don't know. I don't know too much about unraced horses in this field. I know Amos likes his horse, who's the favorite, and is not gonna. You're not gonna learn anything that you don't already see there. Little Tootsie, that horse, Mariah's Princess, who beat her, came back in the Letelier and ran well behind Joy's Rocket, and Little Tootsie is expected to improve. She's going to be less than 3-1. The one that interested me a little was Shockingly, the Nyquist for trained by Brett Calhoun, but not enough to try to beat the favorite.
I'm going to just point out, you mentioned the firsters, and Arbitrary for Pin Oak, the first Samurai filly out of Whimsy, who was a stakes winner. And I'm gonna mention a turnback candidate, that Latte Dolce for Eric Heitzman on the outside, and he tried to stretch her out after the Keeneland debut. She's going to go back to three quarters. That was a decent debut at Keeneland, right? And
I picked her that day.
Did you really? Well,
yeah, I liked her at Keeneland, and I thought she couldn't lose that race because I thought she was kind of bred to stretch out, and it was a soft field, I thought, and she was just terrible.
Well, she's getting back. She may want to stay short, and there's
some. I agree with that.
Yeah, there's some reason to believe that that's what she wants to do, and she's got some sibling strength.
I just think she's slow. I think it was a weak race at Keeneland with only 7 other horses. That's why she was 5-2. And she ran okay there, but I don't see a ton of upside. I mean, she's 12-1 on the line. It's going to be a price, though. I mean, if you're feeling it, you can go for it because you're going to get what you want and on the odds.
Well, the second big maiden race is the three quarters for boys that goes as the fourth, and there is pedigree galore here, highlighted by Otto the Legend. This is Asmussen for the Three Chimneys Homebred, the Chester House mare, House of Dancing, that produced Twirling Candy.
Yeah, there's another, was it Dubai Sky? There was another stakes winner, too. That's
a good one. I think there were more than one.
That was a good one. I didn't actually ask him about a couple of horses. We didn't talk about this horse. Two things. Lots of bullets, which is weird for Asmussen.
Yes.
Also, right now with Oakland starting and these barns that have big divisions in Arkansas where the money is huge, I'm a little, it's not a complete correlation, but there's something to be considered about who stays and who goes, you know. Also, this horse had been based at Louisiana Downs, and I'm not saying that's a, I mean, they're, you know, when people have so many horses, they have to find a place for them, and good horses can come out of any of these places, you know, like Brad Cox has horses at Ellis Park in the summer and fall, and there are plenty of good horses stable there, plenty of good horses. But I sometimes, you know, I just, it's something I took a note of. There was other pedigree in here, I think.
Well, you've got
I looked
Warrant.
Them all up, but I didn't write them down, and now I've forgotten everything.
Well, there's the Chestnut by Constitution for Twin Creeks. Their homebred, who's a half to Miss Warrant. Yes, the Miss Locust Point.
I do have a little on that. Yeah, that horse is okay and got some talent, but is not mentally forward and lacks speed, is what I've been told by the trainer.
Interesting.
He much prefers, and on the day, the number 13, who I just have a sneaky feeling is going to get into the field, Cool House. And that horse had some kind of, maybe, I don't remember the siblings, but I just know they paid a lot of money for the horse. That horse had bred a little bit to go longer, I thought, along Nyquist. But does have some speed and is, you know, is sharp. That'd be the one between the Coxes, from what I understand.
Well, and that is a $600,000 Larry Best purchase as a Keeneland November baby. As we saw this past, this past week at Keeneland, Larry Best not afraid to buy short yearlings and weanlings. And here's an example: Cool House, Nyquist out of the Pulpit Mare. There's also the brother of Merneith, the Exaggerator, out of Flatter Me with Roses. This being Gunner Paul from Mrs. Moulton and Wayne Catalano.
Yeah. And the one that's going to be favored is the horse that's run twice. Blameworthy. Who's a pretty fast horse. He ran into Swiftsure, who was easily the best maiden winner of the first few weeks of the Fairgrounds meet for Atchison. He's working. I thought he was going to be in the allowance race in this card going long, but he's not. But he's fast. And then Prate, who, like, ran a hole in the wind in his debut victory for Cox and Giroux. I think that horse is pretty good, actually. Although I picked to win a horse without a ton of pedigree power, the one horse, Run Classic, for Calhoun and Durant, who's gotten... I've not seen the horse work. Unfortunately, I don't get work videos from Fairgrounds or Churchill, but he has an outstanding work pattern. I know he's got the rail, but I think he's going to have enough speed to get some kind of position, and I feel like he might be a little overlooked. But, I think Blameworthy is going to be tough, make no mistake.
Run Classic is one of, I think, a couple of Run Happies in here, and certainly as first-time starting stats have been – well, all the stats have been weak so far for Run Happy.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's early still. I mean, I've seen some signs recently, and I'm not going to, like, completely dismiss horses because they're by that sire yet. Not just one horse. I mean, the Dam has had three horses to race and combined three starts. They're not much there. And then the Grant Mills, who was, if I remember right, was a decent, like, turf miler, is the black type in the second generation. So there's not a ton to go on there, but obviously the horse caught the eye, given the pedigree and how much he fetched the breeze up sale.
Agreed. This Roe Perez Millennium Farms bred this one, and $475,000 Durant paid.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Chatain mare, the great brood mare sires. I don't remember seeing a horse by out of a Chatain mare, to be honest.
I completely concur. No, I agree. I don't think I ever have either. The fifth race is the first of the maidens going long on the grass. This is a mile. We actually had touched on some of these horses when Mark Cassie was with us. He's got Transient, the See the Stars filly.
Yeah, a rare See the Stars unraced horse in America. Very interesting.
And you've got Love in the Air as well, Pennsylvania bred out of a stake winner, that lovely Sin, the Freud mare. The Blackstone Farm bred, and Jack Oxley campaigns has run three okay races, and Mark, hoping to break through. This is always interesting because you're looking for, for turf insights. You got a second time starter stretching out, Office Party. Room Service was a stake winner for Gary and Mary West, and the Catman has got this one.
Cox at the first time or two, buried in post 14, Hannah Road. That's going to be tough. But that horse has some talent. He said the idea was he's not sure about turf, but he wanted to run her long because that's what she seems to want to do. We should make a quick note here, too, that as they do the week of all these stakes, big stakes days, they've taken the temporary rail down. They did that before yesterday's races, which were strangely off the turf. So I don't know how that's going to play yet. I talked about this when we spoke, Stephen, in December, about how the rail coming down has reduced the bias last January, February, and March during these stakes weeks. Now, that did not, in the end, final assessment, that did not take place in January when the rail came down. However, the difference is now we're a month farther on and the course maybe is a little more chewed up, and it could make more of a difference laying back that fresh ground along the inside. I suspect that the inside paths are going to be good. That remains to be seen, but definitely worth noting. I do, in this race, I do really like this horse, Lijana, who I think I made my best bet of the day.
You did.
I really liked that horse that won that race, White Frost. I think is really nice. And this filly ran, I thought she did a lot of really good stuff in that race. A lot of good stuff. Looks like she's had a decent work pattern and got a good inside draw where, if that's correct, that the inside lanes, well, I mean, generally better than safe ground in most circumstances anyway. But if she can get over to that better part of the course, then I think that horse is going to be very formidable.
Nice. Lijana for Cherie DeVoe, and one of a couple that Cherie's got on the card. The next of the maiden races, back on the dirt, these are the boys going long. We talked to Cassie really actually at length about Scarlet Fusion. And then, Marcus, I made this kind of connected these dots yesterday in conversation with Haskin about some of the the maiden races around the country tomorrow. Scarlet Fusion out of Scarlet Tango, and in the fourth at Gulfstream tomorrow, Alexander Valley goes, who is out of Terra's Tango, who is a daughter of Scarlet Tango. So there's some cousins operating at a high level tomorrow. And Scarlet Fusion, the Curlin $800,000 purchase. Here's Bob Edwards again with Stone Street, who bred this chestnut.
My computer decided to update itself out of the blue, and it's just gotten back on. We're on the sixth race here.
Sixth race.
No, I mean, I just can't. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. Like, suddenly you want to do it. I mean, do I have any say in this? This was a really interesting race.
It is.
I gave a number of horses a long look here. The wise guy horse is going to be a Mask Parade, who comes out of the aforementioned Prate and Blameworthy race.
Right.
And completely blew the brake. Now, I don't generally, it was a very, very fast pace, which Prate was able to, he was right behind it, didn't bother him at all. The other horses, it bothered. And so that can make a horse who does something like miss the brake look better than he is, because everything's falling apart in the last 3/16 of a mile while this horse is getting warmed up. That being said, it was he did look good in doing what he did, and the gallop out was exceptional. And I mean, I think he'll be okay going long. And the pedigree is a little difficult to read. Upstart at any given Saturday, I'm sure that screen's going wrong. But he was a more tepid selection for me because I think there are some capable horses in this race. In particular, on the other Cassie horse, I thought I preferred the Dolder Grand, who made some really positive strides, I thought, on dirt last time. A little bit of a grinding sort, it appeared, but I think has a good potential to move forward in just his second dirt race and first since November. And then Assison's horse here, Big Lake, the tracing back to Lakeway for the breeder, Rutherford, ran a nice race first time out, and then may have bled second time out, and explaining the disappointing start since he is racing with Lasix added today, which people are more often are taking Lasix off these youngsters at this point than adding. But he's been down at Fairgrounds for quite a while and has gotten in plenty of work, has pace, should be forwardly placed from the start, and looks like he could be a contender to me too.
I want to bring up one more, Marcus. Happy American for Neil Pessin and Bob Lothenback.
Yeah, yeah.
This is another run happy, and there's actually another run happy in this race, too. So there's two run happies in both of the
everywhere.
Maidens. This is a half to Jimmy Sims, an economic model,
right,
and ran a very good race moving to the dirt. That was the Prate race, and was 94-1 in there for Neil.
Yeah, I did give that horse a look because he's got that running line from the sprint that is the classic stretch out line where he passes some horses without making any real inroads on the leader, just kind of runs at more of an even pace. And I think that horse will prefer two turns. If it were a softer spot, I could definitely see projecting him into a position of contention. But we were worried there are too many horses who are farther advanced than he at this point. I think it is worth noting that Pessin and Lothenbach had a very nice debut winner, a four-year-old filly yesterday. And now I can't remember her name, but I'll find it eventually. But this is I thought this was a really good route race, really good route maiden race. I mean, just the size of the field here and the number of competent and capable-looking horses kind of gets to what we were talking about earlier with the nature of these races.
That's the six that we just talked about, and
yes. Ready for Change, Steve, is the name of that horse they won with yesterday.
Oh yeah,
out of
yeah.
Single Solution, who was a good horse. Let's see what her buyer was. You can move on. We're doing two things at once here, looking back and forward.
Well, Marcus is getting the figure. I'll introduce the mile and an eighth group that's going to go as the seventh, and maidens again. Here, you want to talk pedigrees. How about the Alexander Grove Galileo colt that Lee Levinson bought, Hidden Enemy, out of a coma. And so Davy Carroll has had to watch this horse train at Fairgrounds and probably sees a coma in this colt every time the horse goes around. Is 0-4, but has cashed a bunch of checks, has made $33,000. Cassie's got Committed, who we talked about, who's kind of a low, slow, lopey type that looks like he's going to want him as long as they run races. You've got Cobla Cat's three-year-old More Than Ready colt in here. Cobla Moss, that's a half to Bituman, a personal favorite. Brad Cox has got the Judmont colt by Into Mischief that's a full to Citrus Burst, who won last week at Gulfstream during the force out. And so that jumped off the page at me. You got all kinds of things going on in here. Frank Fletcher, has got one with Cox making a second start. Sharp Rocket, who's a half to super colossal of Mrs. Weber's. This is another nice group of horses.
And a flincher out of a Galileo mare. We have a Galileo horse by Galileo and out of a Galileo mare. And a first time starting, See the Stars on one card. I mean, this is unheard of.
And how about the global? How about Global Empire? In fact, Scully pointed out that Louis Russell paid $500,000 for the American Pharaoh.
Did he buy the horse? I mean, I when I looked up the auction history, it had no buyer listed in our database.
Interesting.
I don't know for sure. I don't know. I'm guessing he might have. There's only one auction, but I mean, I didn't want to jump to that conclusion. But
it was a Keeneland Yearling.
It's much more than you don't usually see him with horses like that.
Yeah.
Now that so Hidden Enemy is not your typical four star maiden. I think he's pretty good. He ran. Those were paceless races at Saratoga, and I think he needs a little pace help. And then the Laurel Futurity was run over that bog. I can't take the form too seriously in that race because the conditions were so radical. And then he ran well last time. He was passed quickly with suddenness by this cast. Speaking of Cassie, Palazzi, I'm very high on this horse. That was his first turf race. And he was like, from the 3/8 to the quarter pole, when he was just getting in position, he was moving roughly twice as fast as anyone else in the race while wide, and then finished it off well. He's a good winner, and I think that was a decent race. And Hidden Enemy should love the mile and an eighth. He's going to be a major contender. But I went with Folsom over him, even though he was beaten by Hidden Enemy last time. That horse got in traffic in the stretch. Nothing like he didn't get stopped, but it was claustrophobic. He didn't have a lot of room, and when he finally got him outside, he was one that finished with the most flashiness and energy, I thought, in that race. Blinkers On, which is a pretty good move for this barn. I don't like the draw. I don't like he's going to be stuck outside, but he might not. His price might be better than the standard issue Cox Giroux Judmont model, given the depth of this field and his slightly superficially disappointing showing on December 19th.
Interesting group, and I'm
very.
I'm doing some legwork, Marcus, like you, behind the scenes here, trying to get an answer on that American Pharaoh. I think I got a lead on that. So
let me know. I can report that the Ready for Change, the Pessin first time starter, who won by 11 1/4. There is no figure up yet. So. We'll have to talk again about that.
Let's turn our attention now then to that was the maiden sequence. Let's talk about the stakes, and let's work backwards in the all stakes pick five, Marcus. And first of all, give everybody the roster of changes that you've been so helpful all week with people giving them the horses that are coming out of races or choosing turf over dirt.
Sure. Beep Beep is going to run in the allowance race that we didn't get to talk about, the allowance route earlier on the card. That was confirmed by Norm Cassie. Stidham said it was all but certain that Manor House would also opt for that allowance race. He also has Proxy to run here. And Keith DeSormo said, excuse me, Dynamite will be scratched. So we're looking at probably a field of eight.
Field of eight instead, and still plenty of intrigue when we've got a horse the 3-1 favorite. In fact, the subject of a very popular show right now on Disney, the Mandalorian.
Yeah, is that related? I've briefly wondered that at times without caring
that was so
even close to enough to find out.
That was so bad. Mandaloon, it looks like the conversation starts there. Midnight Bourbon down inside for Asmussen. A couple of horses that have shown some intrigue, but doesn't this revolve around Mandaloon?
Well, the more I looked at this race, the kind of mushier it felt. I don't think it's, well, I mean, it's the typical Lecompte, I suppose. But if you just look at buyer speed figures, which you shouldn't do, I don't mean you shouldn't look at them. I mean, you shouldn't just look at them. The allowance race has got comparable figures to this race, really. Speaking of numbers, the number 3, as in 3-1, seems a little bit optimistic. I would say 1-3 is more likely than 3-1 on Mandaloon, which is like, I mean, he's totally unplayable. I picked him to win. I'm buying at least some of the hype, but he's going to be like close to the same price he was in his first 2 starts, which was 11-10. He's got, you know, I know what his other speed figures are, and they're okay, but they're not like standouts. And his buyers definitely aren't standouts. He's never run in a stakes race. He's never been 2 turns. So, I mean, the only way you can approach the race, I think, with any sort of legitimacy is by like saying you just don't believe and you're going to try to find someone to beat him. Now, I don't have anybody that I like enough to do that. And I've had people talk to me outside of the connections who are really impressed with the way this horse trains and goes about his business. And I will say his allowance win was pretty straightforward at Churchill, but if you go back and watch his maiden win, it looks like there's no way he can get up at the quarter pole. That was amazing what he did for a first-time starter, especially if, as the trainer strongly believes, he's a 2-turn horse who has only been sprinting so far. I mean, I guess that's the main thing, is if he really is this massive route man horse, which he very well might be, to be able to go 2-for-2 at 6 and 7 furlongs as still a green, unpolished model, I mean, that's pretty encouraging for getting out to a mile and a 16th here. I think he's like the most likely winner. But again, to me, what's going to be a really short price. And it kind of ruins, if you believe in him, it hurts your pick 5 because he's going to be so widely played in that, I would think. I mean, after that, Midnight Bourbon for me was maybe the other horse. What I really noticed about him was how quickly Assington sent him to Fairgrounds after the Champagne. And in watching all of his races last year, you could see that there was ability there. He just wasn't, you know, he didn't seem to be fully formed as a racehorse in a lot of ways. And that was what the trainer said upon speaking to him. He's apparently quite a large animal. And it's looks like the sort of horse who, you know, got a good foundation and did some good stuff as a 2-year-old, but is expected to be a much better horse at 3, and he's given him every chance to settle in at this racetrack, become familiar with the track and everything about being at Fairgrounds since he's been there since like late October. Hasn't missed any work as far as I can see along the way, and I mean, maybe he's good. I mean, maybe he jumps up and wins the race. I guess that's something that's not out of the question. I'll talk about pedigree power. This damn Catch the Moon has had all of her horses have run well. It's Gervin, grade 1 winner Gervin, and Pirate Punch, who won the Salvatore Mile last year, a fast horse, or Grant Forrester. And who's the third one? Another stakes winner. I can't remember off the top of my head. Anyway, I think Midnight Bourbon is clearly second choice to me in the way I look at the race. And I would be interested in seeing if he can give Mandaloon a run.
I also see you included Arabian Prince, the West Point for Dallas, the Mishawish colt that was okay, actually, in the Kentucky Jockey Club.
Yeah, Cocked and Loaded was the first foal to race out of that Catch the Moon mare. He for Ravelli won the Iroquois and the Tremont. So first Cocked and Loaded, then Gervin, who won the Risen Star, the Louisiana Derby, the Haskell, then Pirate Punch. And now Midnight Bourbon, that's a pretty good start as a broodmare. Yeah, Arabian Moon looks like a horse that wants to run at least a mile and eighth. I doubt that he'll be forward enough right now to win this race, but he did make decent progress in the slow-paced Kentucky Jockey Club. I felt like, you know, off the debut win, which is a rarity for this barn, Dallas Stewart, you know, the Street Sense was kind of just like a stepping stone race. He ran okay there. And ran pretty well, really. And then I thought improved notably in the KJC. I would expect him to improve also in the Risen Star next month, but I do think that he could get a piece of it here, and we're only talking about 8 horses.
Yeah, at this point. Let's talk about the girls' race, and here we've got a couple of defections as well.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Divine Comedy, she's going to run Monday in the Lowndes race, and so is Minute Waltz. And Brendan Walsh said with Princess Serum that he was undecided as of yesterday morning. I need to check back on that, but she could come out too.
Well, then here we might, if she comes out, suddenly you're down to 6, and seems like the inside-outside is the focus, with Super Sensational getting on dirt for the first time, has been brilliant in those 2 starts for Mrs. Weber, and Sunpath on the outside, the Munnings filly for Judmont, and Brad Cox coming off a resounding allowance win in New Orleans on December 18th.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sunpath is going to be a strong favorite, and she's my pick to win. I think she's really good. Full sister to Bonnie South, who won the Fairgrounds Oaks in 2020. And to me, this filly has run 3 really good races, including even her defeat. Her maiden win, I thought, was excellent. She really does seem like a route horse. She was being asked kind of at the past the half-mile pole in that race, if I recall, and wasn't really going anywhere, and then really kicked in, made a run to get in position, and finished the race off with a second run. And, you know, she was, after being asked to keep up, because she's not really that kind of horse, she was going easy the last furlong and really dominated that field. And, I mean, she's 1-5 in the allowance race, which had 3 other horses, and she couldn't possibly lose. But that's great. That's great first-time routing practice for a developing young horse. And she's still a little green. I think she saw the gate tracks and ducked down to the rail because of that and kind of lost her focus briefly. But then after doing that, really leveled out beautifully and came across the wire looking stronger to me than an 84 buyer horse. I think she's got plenty of latitude for improvement, given the pedigree. I mean, they have big hopes for this horse, but they, I'm sure, would also love to win a stakes race with her. So I think she's well meant on the day. She hasn't missed a beat working. She's got positional pace. I mean, she's already done dirt in 2 turns, so I have to give her the edge over Super Sensational, who's only sprinted on Tapita footings. I know she was intended for the Mazarine going 2 turns in December. A race got canceled because Woodbine had to halt abruptly. She's been down at Fairgrounds for a while. Both trainer Mark Cassie and assistant trainer David Carroll, who's there with her every day, so she has breezed and trained like a really, really capable dirt horse. The question, I guess, as far as Cassie said, was even though she's by Curlin, you know, they're not completely convinced that she's going to thrive at 2 turns the way she has at 1. I think that's entirely possible. Maybe she is the equal or better of Sunpath. I mean, I liked her races. I think visually I liked Sunpath, you know, more from what I've seen, but it's hard to fault what Super Sensational has done so far. I don't know that the rail is a perfect place for her, but maybe she'll just go to the lead and be really good.
Marcus, I can add a decision from Brendan Walsh to the conversation. Princess Theorem will scratch from the Silver Bullet Day in preference for the Monday race.
Thank you. I kind of figured that would happen.
Yeah.
So. I think Little Stitches is worth mentioning here. She's got some possibilities for the Serengeti Empress connections, in that I think she might be a route horse who ran four sprints to start her career, and that was a weird kind of not maybe great maiden race that she won at Keeneland, but she did show resolve to rally and win that, and then, you know, granted, you know, it was Delta, but the Mike Trusty Cat field wasn't terrible, and she really excelled going longer and getting into the rhythm of a two-turn race, granted around a six-furlong oval. But there's a chance that she's just found her niche now, and it's going to continue to improve, having gotten out around two turns.
The Colonel Bradley precedes the Silver Bullet Day and the mile and a 16 turf standard. We do have some maneuvering here, too, right? Captivating Moon is coming out, and My Boy Jack stays.
Yeah, and the horse that's retired isn't running either.
Oh, yeah, outside. Mr. Misunderstood. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. This race is not very strong. $25,000. I mean, I kept going through and through, and like the more I looked, the less I understood. So, you know, I guess here are the two main things. I think there's a lot of horses who I can't really see winning. So I don't have any brilliant thoughts. Spectacular Gem probably is going to run better than last time. I think he took the worst of things, you know, getting in that duel in a race he might have needed a little bit and caught wide a little bit. I think, you know, he ran okay, but I'm almost sure he's going to run better. The problem is he's drawn inside Sailing Solo, with whom he dueled last time, and Sailing Solo, to his credit, outfinished him. He was also along the inside with the rails down, and like I said, it wasn't a huge bias, but I think it was better to be inside than outside. But I do think he'll turn the tables on Sailing Solo. It's just how much pressure he takes, how fast he has to go. But I think Spectacular Gem, you know, if he does improve a little, he's going to be pretty tough, because he's already done it, you know, time and time again at this level, and he likes fairgrounds. He ran well at fairgrounds even as a three-year-old. But Logical Myth, you know, who was 10-1 last time, he's going to be shorter here. But I really think that he can contend again, even though you can't rate his win too highly. It was a big blanket finish. He won by a head. That being said, he has turned into a new horse after, you know, Sharp claimed him and added blinkers. He's won nothing but good races, even rained off turf, which he wants for his best. You know, he ran well the Silver and Lion, who came back and won a two other than on the December 19th card on turf. And then three back, you know, they tried him at a mile and a half. He ran okay, but I think that shorter is what he wants. And if those two pace horses hook up again, he's sitting right in the rail and getting the same perfect trip he did last time. You know, his work pattern since he's gotten in two breezes, and he's a five-year-old, but he's still somewhat unexposed given the entirety of the circumstances. So I picked him without any strong conviction to win.
Yeah, there's... there's a couple of horses in here that are going to be decent prices that might have a hint. The Van Berg
and
horse.
I would think, yeah, I could see that one like being something that people fish around with.
Yeah,
and let me just also say that this could be a good race to just like anticipate chaos, because after Spectacular Gem, as far as proven quality,
right,
to lean on this race, I don't see a lot of it. I mean, if he doesn't win, and if Logical Myth can't reproduce his form, I think anyone could step up.
No, that's fair, and you do have some trainer changes involved here. Brett Calhoun, who's had Maraud for, you know, a while, and how about
the claim? Yeah, Maraud, he wanted to run him in an allowance race that he couldn't find. He was not bullish on his chances. Vittori Kane was entered and scratched earlier. they may have been seeking, not able to find a more suitable spot with that horse either, but I'm not ruling him out. I mean, he's a little bit interesting. Sidham doesn't claim many, and the ones that he does claim often do pretty well. They must have seen something in this horse. He's one that I would, if you want to take a flyer, I could definitely be taking a flyer on Vittori Kin.
And now 8 years old, Vittori Kin, and of course, long time McPeak veteran.
Yeah.
The Van Berg horse we mentioned is Split the Wickets. The A.G. Aponte.
These horses, though, are going to be back. I mean, Vittori Kin is a little more pace. A horse that's going to drop back and come wide, like I think Split the Wickets is, might be. I'm downgrading their chances just because how I'm guessing the course is going to play on Saturday. I want something that I know is going to be able to cleave to the fence to some extent during the race and come through traffic rather than come around.
The Louisiana is the other graded stake on the card with the LeCompte, and $125,000 for the older males, mile and a 16th. And in here, we've got some veteran familiar names, and certainly nice to see Wells Bayou back in the entry box, the Louisiana Derby winner a year ago, away since the Arkansas Derby. Fifth place finish behind Nadal, and working steadily for this return, first at Churchill, now in Hot Springs. Sonneman, who, of course, the Don Adam, Curlin Colt, tried the Tenacious, has been with Asmussen for a while now. A few other, you know, familiar names as well. Blackberry Wine.
Silver
coming off.
Yeah.
Silver Prospector.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is a nice enough group.
Yeah, I mean, Silver Prospector is, he's no worse than second choice, I don't think. I would flop the prices on the athletes, since I think Silver Prospector will be shorter than Sonneman, but maybe not. Maybe Sonneman is super live. I like him better. Regarding Wells Bayou, he has gotten in a ton of work. He worked him eight times at Churchill before he sent him to Oaklawn. Yeah, he was at Oaklawn. He could have run in the fifth season. Interesting that they shipped him here for this race. I guess he's going to be favored. Probably. I can't support the horse. You know, his Louisiana Derby was pretty good. It was a moderate pace. Nigh traffic and modernist, okay. I mean, it's fine. He ran well. He won the Louisiana Derby. $1 million. Good job. He got beat by Silver Prospector in the Southwest when he was forced to go much faster. And then same thing happened in the Arkansas Derby. So now we're talking about a horse who's never run against older horses, been off for 8 months or whatever it is. He's probably not going to get an easy lead. They probably have bigger races in mind for this horse in the next couple of months. I think Blackberry Wine is going forward for sure. I don't see Wells Bayou shaking loose from that horse, who is a very very fast and rev. So I'm happy to try to beat Wells Bayou if as the potential favorite here.
No, Blackberry Wine, that effort in the allowance was, if he runs back to that, he's formidable.
Yeah, possibly, but the whole thing about him is the one time, I mean, he's beaten up on, that was a nice comeback win against Digital, that allowance race, one of his many purse money disqualifications last January. But then Digital has not worked out to be all that great so far. Chestertown, I mean, people are familiar with his body of work. Went to New York Breds and still not dominating. And then to his Risen Star, when he, you know, ran against better horses, he collapsed. That's a bad word to use. He did not run well. He faded badly off the pace. So I just wonder if Wells Bayou is pushing, and he just ran the fastest race of his life. I wonder if he's going to be able to hold up, but he could. I think it's entirely possible. I want to talk about these Asmussen horses because Silver Prospector is pretty nice. I think that his Clark is easily forgivable. He had the 14 hole, stuck out wide. I mean, that was really tough. But the trainer did make a point of mentioning the Razorback on February 13th as being the race they're aiming for. He didn't want to run in the fifth season because he wanted the extra week to get to the Razorback. The Razorback, you know what the purse of a Razorback is, Steve?
$350,000
$600,000
Holy
the
cow!
The Razorback.
$600,000 I know the you
I'm
know
like
the,
600.
Well, the Southwest, yeah. The Southwest is $750,000
Yeah, I know. I mean, I might enter myself in an Oakland race. anyway, the point is, he went out of his way to say that this race is $125,000 Not saying you can't win. I'm just saying that as a value proposition, the way I think the race is going to be bet, I mean, people are probably going to latch on to Santana riding this horse and Solomon in the last race. But according to the trainer, you know, Santana's going to be based at Oaklawn. He's going to be riding this horse at Oaklawn. And, you know, so they're going to keep a Santana rhythm going. And that has been, I mean, I feel like he said that was the main reason that, like, if you want to read something into it, read that into it. Not that, oh, he's a way better chance here, and so that's why James Graham is riding Sonneman. I think I like Sonneman. I think that this is a slowly developing horse. He's always shown some talent from even early in his late two-year-old. You know, the easy goer, you know, that was just a complete throwout. He'd gotten the horse recently. There wasn't a good spot for him. In fact, the whole early, like the first couple races, you know, the jerk Alan Jerkins is just get some racing in him. He ran well, closing for fifth. Ran well in the Padgett 8 Mile. Rushy was really good right then. And then that horse of Catalano's Big Dreaming, who beat him at Keeneland, that horse has not been active since that race. But he had come out of a good performance at Kentucky Downs, and that is a Dreaming of Anna colt, who is big and strong and fast. I don't necessarily hold it against this still developing Sonneman that Big Dreaming turned him away in the short stretch by on the 16th. And then I know he only got a 94 buyer, but I really liked his race at Churchill. And then I really liked his stakes race in the Tenacious. I mean, I think we still feel like Maxfield is a grade one class performer. And Maxfield was ahead of him, you know, showing more pace. And this horse made a nice run, splitting horses in mid-stretch, and was coming well at the wire. I think that he's very well meant, trying to add a stakes win to his resume. He's a four-year-old colt with some pedigree, and I see him improving again in this race and hopefully winning because I'm going to bet on it.
Let's get the Krantz conversation in. Mile and a 16th on the grass for fillies and mares, and some interesting things happening in here.
Okay. What are they?
Well, to me, Secret Message, you know, having gone through the sale in November and, you know, Spendthrift then deciding to go ahead and run her a little bit more, and I'm not sure if they're going to, you know, pull up on her and breed her. But I can tell you that when I talked to Graham Motion, he was surprised that they were leaving her in training.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. She didn't run that great last time. Really? Mm.
She hasn't run great in a while.
Okay. That's fair enough. I mean, I feel like, they might have been thinking of Beau Recall when they brought this horse back. Because remember, Beau Recall was like, I think she was just four, which is different. But she was kind of just muddling along in California turf stakes. And then Cox got her, brought her to Fairgrounds, and she turned into a grade one horse.
That's true.
This horse is older, but had higher performance levels than Beau Recall did. But, I mean, she didn't run that great last time. She did. She was a little wide. She ran okay. What are the other interesting things? I just think it's an uninteresting race.
Well, I'm going to say interesting. I mean, you know, horses to consider. I thought that Dallas Keene, and how many horses does he's only started five so far, but how many horses does he have at Fairgrounds?
Somebody actually told me this because he got stalled at the last minute. I don't know. I'm not going to say something that's wrong. He has the number of stalls accords to some extent with the number of starts. So not that many.
Okay. Well, the fact that Curlin's Journey is here, and certainly that effort in the Blushing KD was respectable enough. She's going to have to run a career best to win this. But I don't know. She's got to look a little bit to me. And, you know, then on the outside, how about Nacho Correas? 8-1 on Quora, the Peruvian, fourth place finish coming out of the Blushing KD. In fact, most of the whole Blushing KD crowd returns.
She's a little bit interesting. But the one who was supposed to be good is Correas's other horse, Joy Epifora. She's the one who had the grade one form, and her first race in the States was so encouraging, the second to Lady Kate. And then she just lost it over the summer. I mean, she wasn't showing any spark. I have more affinity for her in this spot actually than Quora, just because I know that hopes were high and she has Argentine form that's plenty strong to contend in this race. If she could find herself again, she gets a restart off in September, been more steadily at Fairgrounds, has the rail and a touch of pace, so she could stay on the best part of the course and get in right behind a relatively soft fresh. And so I considered her, because, I mean, things went so south, you know, for her. I couldn't quite get there. I think I ended up with the most boring of selections in this relatively, to me, boring race, and the 2-1 borderline favorite, Delica. Because, I mean, there's not a ton of speed in here again, and if one other horse goes, the stretch-out sprinter Zantika, I'd say is the most likely candidate. And at worst, she's sitting second in the clear, I would think. And she's good. She's a good horse. I mean, her first lady was not bad. Uni Bo Recall, newspaper of record. I have a feeling that all of these horses would look pretty good in this spot. And she dominated in the Blushing KD. She's just a 5-year-old. She's a tricky ride, Stahl has said. But Mena has won his last two starts, and her, they get along really well. I mean, I hate to, like, moto it, but she's the one that stood out to me a little bit.
Well, finally, Marcus, before we wrap, we should mention the Kenner, which is early in the card, the 5.5 furlong for 4 and ups. And you got some major returnees. How about the horses coming out of the Richie Shearer, Arcadust and Just Might for Michelle Lovell. And you've got Born Great for Brendan Walsh, who does tremendous work with turf sprinters. And in fact, Extravagant Kid is running Saturday at Gulfstream. Manny Watt tries the turf for the first time, I think for the first time. And this is a nice little group.
No, I agree. It's not that bad, despite the short field. I mean, Manny Watt, I don't think he's going to like turf, so I'm not according to much chance. You didn't mention Ready for Primetime, who was a very sharp winner over Born Great. First time Brad Cox on December 11th. I suppose you probably have to account for him. He's probably going to hook up with Just Might. I think they're going to go a decent pace. I mean, the horse Archidust, he wasn't quite himself in the Aqueduct race. Maybe the good turf had something to do with that. But otherwise, he is pretty strong form, and was a very nice winner of the Richie Shearer. But I went with Born Great just because Archidust is coming off one of his better races and is outside, while Born Great is on the rail, and I think it's going to, you know, save ground. I couldn't believe that he went to the lead last time on January 6th. He did not strike me as a leading type of horse at all. Very confusing to me, but I do think they had this race in mind, even when they ran him that on the 6th. He's back in 10 days because he ran maybe the best race of his life on a week's rest at Kentucky Downs, where he was just super impressive in that one other than going 6.5. He might want a little farther in an ideal world, but he actually ran really well when he was second to Ready for Primetime during a period of the meet where the course was favoring front runners like Ready for Primetime. I just see this horse tucking in along the rail in a stalking position and hopefully not ever going too far outside and kind of doing what he did at Kentucky Downs and bumping up his performance level even though he's back on short rest, maybe because of being back on short rest.
Well, Marcus, this was tremendous, and we've got a really good day of racing at Fairgrounds, and I sure hope things are going to get to a point where I could come in for either Risen Star or Louisiana Derby weeks. And yeah, I know. This thing jumped up on everybody literally right. I was about to head to New Orleans for Risen Star last year, and that's when the whistle blew. So,
well, that's funny because Sunday morning after Risen Star is the last time I was on a backstretch.
Unbelievable. Well, we admire what everybody's doing on the racetracks. The way that, you know, I talked to David Duggan earlier, Golden Gate resuming today, and everybody has done an amazing job.
Yeah, it's just confusing. There are two David Duggans in active in racing.
It's funny you say that. Yes. Well, and I understand David at Golden Gate is absolutely David. He's not Dave, but David Duggan in New York, you can call him Dave.
Yeah, or Davey. They called him Davey when he was Owen Hardy's assistant at Arlington when I first met him.
All right,
Davey,
so there's
Duggan.
Perfect.
Speaking of Arlington and Golden Gate, the racing secretary who I hear rave reviews about, Patrick Mackey, is an old Chicago hand who I know from, you know, way back when he was working in the racing office, a really nice guy and a really diligent guy. I haven't talked to him in years and years, but a couple of people just out of the blue have told me what fine work he does there. So good for him.
Well, and of course, Indiana picked off Chris Polson from...
You know, yeah, that's good for him. I mean, speaking of Arlington racing secretaries, they're looking for one if you want to put in an application.
That's out there for anybody. We'll have to talk about summer
conversation for another day.
Exactly.
The CDI track under consideration is to the south of corporate headquarters, and boy, do they have an excellent card. I hope that the weather holds. It's supposed to be great. I don't see any problems there, and that everybody comes back safe and healthy, and that the card turns out to be as good as it looks on paper.
Well put. DRF Hirsch, everybody. Marcus Hirsch, thank you. This was great.
Thank you, Steve.
Marcus Hirsch, everybody, and the action at Fairgrounds, terrific. Let's take our only other break of the morning. Come back. We got Nick Tamaro, and Nick's going to rip through a handful of action spots, and then Mike Welch to close it out to talk about Gulfstream's Sunshine Millions card and anything else that Mike's got for us. Next week, Marty McGee and Mike for coverage leading into Pegasus. And more back after this weekend preview at the races, brought to you by Twin Spires. Last half hour after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, BleederShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
A great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.